Welcome to this edition of In the Author's Voice. I'm Jeff Williams. May is Older Americans Month as well as Mental Health Awareness Month. And getting older doesn't have to be a negative if you give yourself permission to approach aging as a positive. That's the perspective of gerontologist Dr. Macy Smith. I recently talked with her about getting older and what getting older means.
As I'm getting older, I'm beginning to rethink what old age actually is. I'm getting closer to 60, but yet it doesn't seem like that's really where I am. And it seems like when I think about it, that's getting old. But so is this 70 the new 40, or how should we think about age?
First of all, that whole 20 is the new 10. 40 is the new 30. No, it's not. 40 is 40, 30 is 30, 60 is 60. I am, you know, of the mindset that aging is an obligation. You have to age, but getting old is a choice. So I always say you age by chance, you get old by choice. How you actually feel is how old you really are. Right. So when we say age is a number, it really is, because your mindset is what propels you to be who you are and to do what you do and how you show up in the world. And so you may be 59, but that's your age. That, you know, the government says that you're 59. What do you say? What does your body say? What do your activities say? That's kind of what I go with.
I think I'm perennially stuck in my 40s, because that was just a really good decade.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know what that says about me. But
no, I agree 100%.
So what are some of the things that we need to think about in terms of our mindset as we get older? I've got an aging mother. She's in her mid 80s, but other than she complains about her arthritis and what she perceives as her short-term memory loss, she doesn't look 85, and she really doesn't act 85. What are some of the things that we need to, as we get older, you know, think about in order, you know, in terms of, I don't know, acting how we feel rather than maybe what our age is, as you talk about?
Yeah. You know, I always talk about as we live, I don't necessarily say as we get old or older, as we live, we always want to ensure that we're engaging our mind. Always be lifelong learners. Don't be afraid to learn new information, learn a new skill, engage with new people and have new experiences. That fires off our neurons. Our neurotransmitters are getting to work. They're doing what they do best. When those things aren't percolating and when they're not active, then they could die, you know, to waste away. And so you increase your risk of developing cognitive impairment or dementia when you don't engage your brain. Lifestyle choices is huge. When you experience things that make you feel good, I don't care how old you are, it does spark something in you that makes you want to do more. And when you're doing more, you're staying active. When you're staying active, you're building, you know, those muscles, you know, and muscle memory. And so it's always good to stay engaged, because when you stay engaged, you are reducing your risk of developing a whole lot of chronic illnesses that bring on some devastating results.
Do we get in our own way? Do we get so in our head that we get in our own way from being able to do that?
Well, you know, I think it depends on the person. I think it depends on their background, their characteristics, and also where they live. You know, some people live day to day based on what other people think of them. What other people think of you is their business. It ain't got nothing to do with you, right? And so when we can start thinking about us and putting us first, then the rest is just noise. Actually, that noise should be fuel for you to continue to do well. You know, there's a saying, and I don't know who started it, but it is moving like wildfire. If you ain't got haters, you ain't doing something right. But, you know, if you got haters, you're doing something right. You know, I'm from the South, and they would say, you know, a dog does not bark at a non-moving car. They only bark at moving cars. So you keep moving, you keep stepping, you know, and again, that is motivation, that builds initiation, that builds empowerment. All those things are medicinal, what I call chemical responses to living well.
this is just personal experience, and we recently moved my mom. I don't think she'll mind me talking about this. Recently moved her off the homestead, where she'd been living basically by herself after since my dad's passing, and been there on her own in the old homestead for probably almost 15 years. Recently moved her down closer to us. She's in a retirement community where there is lots of people, not only her own age, but some younger, some older. A lot of social interaction opportunities. And she's been there a little over a year. And the difference is absolutely amazing. It's night and day in terms of how she's wow. being engaged and what is doing. How important is that aspect, especially if you're an individual older or just individual that's been living alone and maybe more isolated than what you normally yeah. used to be?
Social engagement is huge because when you're not, you know, we're social beings. Humans are social beings, and so we have to have social interactions. Yeah, sure, you can do stuff on the computer, you know, on social media, and you can even, you know, talk with people on the phone, but it's just something different about that one-on-one, personal, in-person engagement. It definitely does reduce your risk of depression because you're not alone, you're not lonely, and you're building your emotional capacity to continue to feel and to be, right? And so when you are doing things you enjoy with other people, it is addressing all four domains of well-being, your mind, your body, your behavior, and your emotions. And so when we talk about wellness and well-being, if all those four areas are engaged regularly, then you do improve your quality of living and you significantly reduce your risk of chronic illnesses and in some cases, debilitating illnesses.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine activity is also an important aspect of that. How much activity do you think we have as we age?
So the studies support that we all, no matter what age, they didn't put an age limit on it, should get at least 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week. So that's 150 minutes of activity. And I didn't say exercise because I don't like exercising. So I'm not going to tell somebody to do something I don't like to do. But I stay very active. And so as long as you're staying active and you're actively engaged physically, mentally, emotionally, you're moving every day, then that does promote quality of life.
For individuals that may have some, for whatever reason, have some limited mobility, it's not a matter they don't want to do it, they just physically can't necessarily do what they used to do. Can they still do some things, though, that at least help them to stay active in some way?
Sure. In those cases, if someone has some limitations when it comes to physical activity, I often refer individuals to physical therapy and occupational therapy. So there, you know, out of hospital, you don't have to have it in the hospital. There is at home in the community therapy. And when you get those assessments from the PT and the OT, then they'll make you a list of activities and exercises you can engage in safely at home or in the community. And so I would highly advise your listeners to talk with their primary care doctor about making a referral to physical therapy and occupational therapy to do an activities assessment. So that way they know what they can do safely. And in that way, the doctor, the primary care doctor is involved. He or she knows what the therapists are working on, you know, what the recommendations are going forward, and everyone can stay in the loop because, you know, medical care is important, but quality of life and staying engaged is just as important. So we have to look at those two things in tandem and ensure that there's some synergy there.
Mm-hmm. What role, I don't like to use the word diets, but what role does eating healthy as we can play in our overall
well-being? You're like me. I don't say diet. I don't believe in dieting because that's just a restriction. And I am too old to be on restrictions. However, I am cognizant enough to know that many of the top 10 life-limiting illnesses, what we choose to eat and our meal choices play an important role in us developing inflammation in our bodies. You know, you talk about your mom's arthritis. That's coming from inflammation. If inflammation is in our body, inflammation is also in our brain. And the last thing anybody wants to lose is their mind, right? And so when you make a concerted effort to make healthier, because, you know, what is completely healthy? You know, we've been on this, and I say we Americans have been on this vegan thing. And, you know, my thing is, if I don't know what's in it, I'm not eating. You could say vegan all day long, but what is it? If it looks like chicken, seven, it smells like chicken, and it ain't chicken, you have totally messed me up cognitively, right? My psyche is all messed up. But work with your primary care doctor and your nutritionist on creating a meal plan that's an anti-inflammatory meal plan that's also that promotes, you know, good overall cognitive health as well as physical health. What's good for your heart is good for your brain. And so, and we control that. You know, we don't have to wait for somebody to tell us, you know, you need to eat right. You already know that, and you can make choices in terms of, okay, I know eating bacon every day is not good for you, but I might be can have a little bacon every third Thursday of the month. You know what I mean? You make that decision. When you decide for yourself, it's much more attainable than, you know, you wait until the doctor said, okay, you can't have any more pork at all because, you know, things are not looking up for you, right? So just go ahead and make a conscious effort now.
Yeah, I have that discussion with my doctor about every 6 months. The importance of keeping a little bacon in the diet. There, as we're thinking about older Americans, and we all have either family members or friends that are aging. What are some of the things that, and we don't all age gracefully. So, what are some of the things, maybe some signs or things that we should look for to, or be on the lookout for to make sure that, as our family, as our friends, you know, grow older, that they're living the best life that they can. Some things that we need to potentially watch out for as we all age.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that people are concerned about as they age, and just to be honest with you, is number one, being physically able to continue to live in their home. That's number one. And number two, that they're cognitively able to continue to live in their home. So being physically well, but also being cognitively well. If at any point in time you have an ache, pain, or ailment that you cannot explain, get to your primary care doctor to figure out what it is. And don't allow them to just pass along medications to you if you don't fully understand what the medication is for, number one. How long are you supposed to take it? Number two, and what is the outcome of me taking the medication? So that way you can make good decisions and informed decisions about what your, you know, medical plan looks like. If you start to forget things, you know, don't get alarmed. Don't automatically assume that it's dementia, but you want to talk with your doctor about what you're experiencing. Not go in there and say, I think I got dementia, because you're going to walk out of there with a prescription for Aricept. But really allow the docs to do their job in terms of assessing what's causing the forgetfulness. What could be causing the aches and pain? What could be causing, you know, my stomach issues? So do not ignore, you know, those medical concerns that you may be experiencing, because I'll tell you, you know, many of our seniors will ignore those signs in fear of what could possibly happen if their family members or their loved ones, you know, find out that they're having excruciating pain. So I'm just not even going to go to the doctor, because if I go to the doctor, then I'm going to have to tell her, and there's no telling she's going to make me go live with her and them kids, and them kids get on my nerves, right? So they don't go, but you want to go, because when you don't go and you ignore it, then you make the situation worse, and you may be moving in with someone you don't want to move in with a lot faster. So take care of yourself, definitely physically and emotionally.
Yeah, yeah. And you mentioned that, and having that initial conversation can be a very difficult conversation for whichever family member or members are responsible for eventually having that conversation with their older loved one. Any suggestions on how to approach having that type of a conversation and assessing when you're at that point where you need to kind of assess, okay, what's the future quality of life going to look like? What do we need to do here?
Yeah, you definitely don't want to go into it pointing the finger at the person. letting them know that something is wrong with them, letting them know that they are the problem, they are the issue. You want to approach it as if, you know, is everything going okay? Do you need assistance with anything? Can I help you with anything? Because, you know, normalize what's actually happening. You know, I've had a situation and this person has had to help me. This is how I dealt with it. Do you have any medical appointments coming up? You want me to accompany you? That way you can have a second set of ears, because the docs don't always, you know, say things in a way that we understand. You know, really approach it that way in terms of a partner in their care and not an authoritative figure taking over their care and what it looks like. Allow them to give you permission to participate in their healthcare decisions.
Sure. To kind of come full circle, what is your prescription for us to live our best life as we get older?
So I had a couple of things. I call it, you know, these are the simple things with an E, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to be sure that you're getting enough sleep. Adults should get anywhere from 7 to 9 hours of sleep every night. You want to make sure that you're eating well. You're eating a well-balanced meal, making sure that you're hydrating yourself. You have to have water in your diet. You just can't be drinking that sweet tea and them Cokes all day, every day, because you're going to develop a urinary tract infection. You want to manage your medications well. You want to ensure that you don't have any medications, interactions, or side effects that are causing your aches and pains and your memory lapses. You want to be sure that you are prepared for aging, making sure that you have a plan in place. You want to be sure that you have your healthcare power of attorney in place, and you have the person who you like to be the decision maker to be making those decisions on your behalf, because anything could happen at any given point in time. You want to be a lifelong learner, continue to learn new information, continue to do those crossword puzzles. Now the word finds, now that ain't doing too much for your brain, but you know, the crossword puzzles. And then you want to stay engaged. You want to stay engaged in your community. You want to stay engaged with people you love. Sometimes you want to even stay engaged with people you don't like that well, because I'm telling you, it's going to cause you to think more. When you think and you have to plan and prepare for how you're going to deal with this person later on, as long as it's not causing stress, then it's good for mental acuity.
Oh, gosh. Well, Dr. Macy, I appreciate your time. Is there anything else you think would be important to touch on?
Oh, gosh. You know, continue to do what it is you love to do. Do it safely and do it often. Many people don't even know what they enjoy doing because they've always been caring for other people in other situations. They're always at the church. They're always at the community center. They're always doing this. And you ask them, well, what do you like to do? You know, I never even thought about it because I've been doing so much for everyone else. And maybe that's what they enjoy doing. Many of our seniors love to volunteer. That's cool too. But what is it that you love and do it a lot? And don't allow anybody to tell you what you can or can't do, as long as it's not burdensome, it's not bothersome, it's not hurting anybody.
That's Dr. Macy Smith, a licensed gerontology social worker focused on helping families support their aging loved ones through long-term care. With this edition of In the Author's Voice, I'm Jeff Williams.